similarly, when you become the object itself, so it is said that reason conceives existence, intuition experiences that existence. But that experience is not of the kind that we have in the sense experience. It is an experience where subject and the object become one. In that experience you find that supreme existence beyond quantity, beyond quality, beyond relation, beyond modality. So these are the two steps of the argument. That first of all, the argument is only one line. You may not even call an argument. You can only say that this is the perception of the reason through conception, which is indubitable, which you cannot doubt, which it only says existence without quantity and quality is not only that we can conceive it, but it is the only thing that we can conceive. This statement is the argument. Ontological argument basically is nothing but this. Now, I am quite sure that when you think of this statement again and again, you will not have that much conviction because of the fact that you are not yet accustomed to think and conceive exactly what you need to conceive. It's like, you know, if you have a binocular and if I ask you to look at a star, or if you have a telescope and if you look at the star, and if you don't know how to handle the telescope, you cannot see the star which is the target, because you don't know how to fix your telescope on the target. It is only when you have been able to put your telescope exactly on the target that you will be able to see it. Similarly, reason is like a telescope. And normally we don't know how to adjust the telescope. And therefore, when you are told this statement, you may not be able to perceive this because you do not know how to handle the telescope. That is why I gave you one way of, a negative way of putting this telescope. And I said, think of nothing. Think of nothing. That is to say, you have now taken out the telescope entirely off the target. Existence is the target. If you can fix on it, you will see it directly. You are not able to see now. Therefore, I am saying now you take out the telescope from the target completely. And I say, now think of nothing. Can you think of it? Now, when you see that you cannot think of it, then you will come to the conclusion the only thing you can conceive is existence. Nothing can't be conceived. Therefore, the only thing you can conceive is existence. This is the way in which you can set your telescope exactly on the target. Now, this is the first step of the argument, that there is existence without quantity, quality, is the one thing that you can conceive. Having established yourself on this statement, now there are two more statements to be established. Basically, you have established everything, fundamentally. But when you still think about it, there are two more statements which are to be proved, which are corollaries of this. The one is that the existence is infinite. Existence is one. These are two statements. In other words, you have to prove that God is only one. There are not two gods, or three gods, or five gods. When you want to prove the existence of God, you are proving also that God is one. In a sense, it's proved already, but I want to explicated. So that in our mind, concepts are very clear. So the first thing is to say that existence is infinite. Now let us make an effort to prove this statement. Existence is infinite. Now the starting point is that all our experience, all our imagination, all our conception, I'm saying three things, experience, imagination, conception. Through any one of these methods, whether you go by the method of conception or by imagination or by experience, nothing shows you absolute beginning or the absolute end. You point out in your experience anywhere that you have arrived at the complete end. Whatever you say end is followed by something else. You may be seeing a film at the end of which you see the end, but after that you come out of the cinema hall. So something happens after that. See, that end was only a kind of a temporary interval, you might say. It's not the real end. Beginning is also preceded by something.
But actually, beginning is like, there has to be a beginning of beginning.
It must
have been one beginning to begin with.
There must be, and yet, as far as your conceptions are concerned, you see that every beginning has an earlier beginning. It has an earlier beginning. It has a further beginning. It is true, I have argued myself, that there must be an absolute beginning. But today, to start with, I am arguing that in your conception, in your imagination, in your experience, you never have an absolute beginning or an absolute end. I'll come to that argument which you have presented. But at present, the first step of the argument is that you see everywhere a beginning which is an anterior beginning, an end which is an ulterior end. That means that nothing before you is really finite. A finite is by definition something which is a beginning and an end. This object is a finite object. It has a beginning, it has an end. But in the universal movement of which it is a part, which is the real reality, there is no end. In other words, there is no such thing as finite. Therefore, Sri Aurobindo says, infinity imposes itself. Whatever exists, whatever definition you give of existence, you must say there is infinity. Now, having made this statement, is the second statement, next statement. If you read Sri Aurobindo's Life Divine, this particular chapter which you are reading, you will say, he says that, but this is infinity with regard to time and space. If you read this particular chapter, having said infinity imposes itself, the next sentence is, but this is infinity with regard to space and time. If you have got the text with you, I would like you to see this particular statement. Page number 74. You read first of all the last sentence. Infinity imposes itself upon the appearances of the finite by its ineffable self-existence. Have you got that sentence? It is the last line of the first paragraph. Infinity imposes itself upon the appearances of the finite by its ineffugable self-existence.